On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Democratic State Representative Dora Drake of Milwaukee was born and raised in her district. She said in a Wisconsin Eye interview on the campaign trail last summer that through her background in social work and reentry programs, she has seen firsthand how policies miss the holes. Do you live in Milwaukee or Glendale? What do you want to ask your representative or call her attention to? What effect does representation and greater diversity have on our governing bodies and how policies take shape? It's 800-642-1234. Representative Dora Drake, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me. It was so exciting to hear, Kate, you know, you and your team reaching out and just talk about not only the importance of, you know, Black representation in the state, but what we need to do to move the state forward to be better. So thank you for having me this morning.
Yeah, you're welcome. You were sworn into the assembly in January. What are your first impressions of how state government operates?
Oh, my goodness. A load of questions. But honestly, it was a mixture of what I anticipate to be and a little bit of shock. And when I say it's what I anticipate to be, it's because of the gridlock or partisan gridlock that I expected would happen. So that was one of the reasons I ran. You know, I come from, my background is someone that, you know, was a social worker in the community, someone that would work with people at the front lines. And I would hear firsthand how people were so frustrated with their politics and people didn't think that anything would change from it. So that's why I initially ran, to be different on what it means to be a policymaker, especially in the state. And I knew part of it was the gridlock that we face in our state. So that didn't necessarily surprise me, but it also, was a rude awakening in a way, just because there is so much at stake. We're still coming out of the pandemic, which thankfully, you know, we're doing great when it comes to our vaccine rollouts and our distributions, but there, people are still hurting. Mm. And so as a leader, that's something that I don't take lightly. So when I think about what I'm trying to push, not only for District 11, but also for the state, it boils down to what can be done effectively that can somehow pass despite what's happening in our government to ensure that people's lives are better. And so that's been my focus. And part of that has been focusing on not only elevating issues that are important, that should get more attention, but also issues that aren't being talked about. And having the perspective of a Black woman, just from my own experiences, living in Milwaukee, and also, you know, just hearing what the issues are front hand and foreseeing issues that are coming is what I think is important as legislatures, that we somehow find a solution in any capacity to pass it, despite the gridlock that we may have.
Yeah, I mean, you say, you know, people are hurting. People are hurting in my district. How do you convey the hurt and translate that into policy and make your fellow lawmakers understand the hurt?
Right. So part of it is definitely the constituent follow-up. And that's probably the most important thing I think anyone should tell you, is because you are the person that you're representing. The people that elected you are the people that you serve above everything else. And so I've made a priority that whenever we get requests to our office, that we respond quickly. A lot of it has been unemployment claims. And so we know that clearly there's still been a backlog of unemployment, but thankfully I know that DWD has been putting a lot of work and effort to pushing that forward, and those claims have been getting resolved. With some of those other things that we hear from constituents is, you know, what are you doing at the state capitol making sure that this doesn't occur, whether it's redistricting or whether it's obviously vaccines was a huge one when it came to public health safety. And so it's making sure that obviously when we're on the floor, that our vote reflects that. But also when we do have those conversations with other colleagues in the legislature, letting them know these are the stories, you know, and it's not coming from me. So I can say Because if I want to convince anyone of what I know are issues in my district and just the state, I let them know, look, this is what my constituents have been saying, and here's the data to prove it. And I know that people have different talking points, so it's important that you have both and they have proof of it. One other thing is also forcing things that people aren't talking about. And what I've noticed is really the divide when it comes to technology, because this pandemic has shifted everything for us to really depend on it like we haven't before. And so as we're coming out of it, that is one area that's not going to go away in terms of how we depend on it. And so what I've noticed in the district is people that would have to use technology, whether it be for schools or work, and there were people that couldn't access it, whether they couldn't afford it, and also truly how it really is impacting every aspect of our lives, whether it's the industries that are changing. I know Milwaukee is becoming a tech hotspot, and those are things that we need to be talking about because there are other states and other people that are trying to incorporate tech more into just our social norm, right? So what I don't want to happen is, one, that we can't compete on a national level when it comes to those jobs, but in addition to that, making sure that we don't have that additional disparity that we add on to, especially when it comes to people of color, people from poor communities, and making sure that we can get a ball forward on that versus addressing it before it's too late.
We're talking with State Representative Dora Drake, who is a Democrat, represents a district that includes parts of Milwaukee and Glendale. You can join in. What would you like to ask her about her priorities in office? How do you think having more people of color in public office will change the way our state is governed? 800-642-1234 to join in. I want to ask you, Governor Evers proposed diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives. They were part of the nearly 400 items the legislature's Joint Finance Committee took out of the budget, including his plan to create a cabinet-level chief equity officer. What comes to mind about these budget actions?
Those are budget items that I definitely supported. Governor Evers came to the Wisconsin Legislative Black Caucus. I'm the chair, who is Sheila Stubbs, and I'm actually also the vice chair for the Black Caucus. And so one thing we as a caucus wanted to ensure was that these were items that we were pushing, because it's important. There's also this talk about equity, right, in light of what's happened nationally throughout last year and even this year. And so equity isn't just a – and the question sometimes I get is, what's the difference between equity and quality, right? Because initially in social justice circles, you would talk about equality, and now change to equity. The difference with equity is that you're giving the amount of resources necessary to put everyone on the same playing field versus giving someone just the same amount of resources, which would be technically equality. And so with equity is making sure that we fill in those gaps so everyone's at the same playing field. And so when we talk about having a cabinet solely for our office for equity, that ensures that we have someone at the administrative level that addresses those concerns head on, and it shows that our leadership really takes that to heart. And so I wish that those were things that could have been pushed even more, because I know the finance committee is still going through the list of items and what they're going to vote on. But that's something that our state truly needs. When we talk about, you know, equity and what's happening in our state, it's important to realize that the reasons why that is so important is because there are people that have been left out for so long. And when I say that, I'm talking about Black communities, brown communities, you know, communities that are poor, LGBTQ, disabled communities, and veterans. And so it's important that you have an office that is intentional about looking at every level of government that can determine, okay, these are the issues, this is where the holes are in those communities. Mm-hmm. What can we do to improve them? And so those are things that we were able to talk to Governor Evers about in person. Well, not in person, virtually, of course, but able to have a meeting with him to hear some of those initiatives and have questions as to how it can be improved.
I'm wondering, you know, in your chamber, do you feel welcome by other legislators, or how do you feel like you still have to fight to be heard?
You know, that's a, I don't want to say it's difficult to answer because it's quite simple. Being a Black woman in politics means that you, one, obviously have to provide results for the community, right? Because we can't afford to wait for anyone. And so when we hear about what happened with the funding that was sent, supported for the Historical Black Society last week, to just some of the resolutions that were passed through assembly earlier this year, everyone knows there's a game to play, right, when it comes to politics. And so for me, at times it is difficult just because, one, you make sure that you're heard, right? You know, whenever I meet with people, I'm very candid when I talk to people about where I stand on issues, but where I'm also willing to work on them, because I truly believe that things need to be done in a bipartisan manner. Mm. With that being said, there are certain things that, one, you either have to choose to be vocal about to get, obviously, attention, press, this, that, and the other, or to maneuver in a way that can get solutions for your community. And so at times it is very difficult being a Black woman in this space, but it's also necessary. I know that the Journal Sentinel reached out and did a story on how my election made it where the amount of women, or Black women, I should say, and our government now represents the population of Black women. And so obviously the numbers would suggest that's a great thing. Well, it's a great thing if our impact had the same amount of impact, right? Because there's only 10 of us compared to how many, you know? Mm. And so that's the paradox there. Like, yes, is it great that my election has now made it where Black women are just as equally represented population-wise? Cool. But my thing is, I'd rather have the impact where we can truly not only be heard, but have, you know, legislation that actually improves our communities intentionally, whether it's surrounding health, whether it's surrounding our education system, our criminal justice system, which is something I know is close to my heart because of the work that's done there.
And we're going to talk, we're going to talk more about criminal justice and what you see there. We have Democratic State Representative Dora Drake on the line as we discuss diverse perspectives and representation, how to work across the aisle, her legislative priorities in her first term in the assembly representing her native Milwaukee. Is it important for the state's lawmakers to reflect the makeup of its residents? Do you live in Milwaukee's Northside neighborhoods or Glendale in the 11th Assembly District? What do you want to ask your representative? Still time, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. It's a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking with Democratic State Representative Dora Drake of Milwaukee, who's serving her first term in the Assembly. Her background is in social work and reentry services, formerly a coordinator at the Milwaukee-based nonprofit, the Center for Self-Sufficiency. And Representative Drake is with us for about 10 more minutes. John is joining us from Eau Claire. Hi, John. What would you like to bring up?
Well, first of all, I'd like to congratulate the guest on being elected, and I think it's a good thing for underrepresented people to vote for people who look like them. This is good. But regarding the equity, inclusion, diversity issue that the governor is promoting, I see this as just a replacement of the failed affirmative action issues that liberals have promoted in the past. And it seems to me that the guest and others should be talking frequently about what underrepresented people, marginalized people, could do to improve their lot. And things like not having children until you're married, finishing your education, and staying off drugs would be the important first steps toward achieving equality that they desperately need.
Representative Drake, go ahead. Go ahead.
For calling in and sharing your thoughts. But, you know, I respectfully disagree with what you're saying, just because there are unseen barriers that are placed even before people may have the choice to do that. And I say that speaking from someone that's actually worked in the criminal justice system and has seen some of those issues firsthand. So what do I mean by that? There, you could have someone that, here, let me backtrack, because I'll tell a story of one of my clients when I worked in the justice system. She was a young woman, probably just turning 18, right? And so obviously when we work with people that go through the justice system, at that time, you know, yes, we were supposed to make sure that they went to court and they, you know, would appear, but we would provide services on the back end or referrals to see if anything else was missing. And what people don't see when it comes to those issues is that, one, there are unspoken laws and policies that are in place. And truth be told, people that still treat marginalized people, just due to their race, their gender, their sexual orientation, the amount of income they have. I think we like to think that all of us are good people, and we are, but all of us have shortcomings. And with that, those things still apply and unfortunately have larger effects on those communities. And so this individual young lady, she even she was in the she had a pending case for prostitution, right? But what happened was, one, in order for anyone to actually have the case, you have to have someone that's actually seeking that, right? And so what I've seen a lot of times is that, especially young women, would be charged with this, but the people that they'd be doing business with weren't being charged at all in those cases. So there's an area where, you know, gender has a role. Another area is that due to her background in terms of not having necessarily the best family support, I'm not saying that people can't make their choices, because at the end of the day, people still have the choice. But you have to simultaneously also accept the fact that there are things in place that make it even harder for people to get to where they need to be. And so that's what I'm focused on, is making sure, what can we do as legislators to ensure people have the best quality of life? And the truth is, when it comes to marginalized communities, there are things that have been intentionally not put forth, whether it's lack of funding, whether it's people not wanting to address it, or whether it's people that just don't want to see those marginalized communities actually be better and be in those spaces where they're productive. I personally think if everyone is in a better space to be productive, all of us win. Period, you know? And so when we have these barriers that are up, we have to ask, what's the purpose of that? And so that's where I'm coming from. I understand where the gentleman was coming from, and there is some merit. But in order to have that, you simultaneously have to accept the fact that there are barriers that are still in place that make it harder for marginalized communities to live their best lives.
You've worked with the Corrections Department on reentry services, and I'm wondering, what policies, what gaps did you see? What policies do you want to advance in the legislature in this area, specifically on reentry services?
Yeah, so there's a couple. Two gaps that I noticed was even people coming out from prison into the community. And so the program that I was working at the time at the Center for Self-Sufficiency was a grant where we would actually go into the prisons and do a wellness sort of session program, you can say, where we talk about wellness, address your trauma, but also see, you know, do you have your documents in place, whether it's your resume, your birth certificate, ID, all those things before you were released. And one of the issues was that we had a huge waiting list of people that wanted and qualified to be part of this program, but there just simply wasn't enough people to actually do the work. So that's one area that can definitely be addressed, as to where can we ensure that the people that are now waitlisted are removed from that. And I will say that I believe DOJ has shared that because of COVID, they were actively trying to get people out of prisons that didn't have to be. And so that's one thing that I know that they have worked on and definitely succeeded in and still striving to do better. The other area is this gap between people coming out and finding employment or just finding their, I don't want to say their niche, but find the things you need to survive, right? Like you right. need a job, you need housing, you need some form of transportation, and you need to find a way to take care of yourself. And so one thing is addressing what it means to ensure that different apprenticeships and the skills in that in the apprenticeships field are connected to actual employers. Because we would have individuals that would go through our training program. So we would do a workforce readiness workshop where we would talk about budgeting. We talked about preparing for a job interview, you know, what things to look for. How to identify your skill sets? It's because the people I've worked with have had, you shouldn't be shocked, but you would be shocked at the amount of talent they have. You know, these are book writers. These are creators. These are people that have had years of training and in some sort of trade. And so one is making sure that they're prepared for that, but then what's really happening with the follow-up?
Yeah.
You know, are they hired? So thankfully, I know that there are agencies and nonprofits now that are actively making sure that there's no bias input when it comes to the hiring process. But in that being said, also addressing the mental health that comes with that. And I think that's an unspoken thing we don't talk about that needs to be addressed even more.
Representative Drake, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. This was a great conversation. And, you know, I always let people know that if you have questions, please reach out to my office for concerns, because I want people to know that I'm here not only to represent you, but to actually provide solutions for our state.
State Representative Dora Drake, elected to the Assembly in November, a Democrat, represents a district that includes parts of Milwaukee and Glendale. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is the State Capitol Report. You're listening to the Ideas Network.